Watch
Log Talk Radio.
Mahalo, Pathfinder, for our Go Get 'em healing song. And I'm your host, Brenda Michiko Kelly. Today is March 9th, 2017. The low shoe or the flying star number for today is the number 5. In the low shoe flying star chart, there are 9 numbers, like the tic tac toe board. So there is a center number when you look at that configuration from the top. And it's put in a compass location. And the number 5 in the center is actually the home location. So the configuration with the 5 in the center of the low shoe is everybody's flying star home location. Just heads up, in Feng Shui land, we're talking about Feng Shui. Today there's an element of the day, and that's wood. There are 5 elements in Feng Shui, and they sit around the compass as well. And the wood direction in the compass is the east and the southeast. There's an animal today. Out of the 12 animals, today the animal is the sheep or the ram. And they have a compass direction too, and that is in the southwest. The sheep shares, or the ram shares that direction with the monkey. And remember, last year was the year of the monkey, and we are just into the year of the fire rooster. Fire rooster sits in the west, and there are things in Feng Shui that stay set. What stays set are the 5 elements in their directions, and the 12 animals stay set in their compass directions. What change are the energies of the flying stars, and they each come with a vibration. And so for today, the vibration is that number 5, and then it switches for tomorrow, and they do change daily, and there's a monthly change as well. And if you're following your flying star configuration, when there's a center star, the center star is right now just switched to the number 7 star. When there's a center star, that configuration with, for instance, the 7 in the middle of all the other numbers and how they fall don't change. So if you know the configuration, for instance, this year with the 1 in the center, and then there is a configuration that's always the same when the 1 comes to the center, those other numbers don't all of a sudden go in other directions. It's really regimented. It's way more regimented than it sounds. They have specific directions that they go and fly to, and only fly to and from. They don't jump. For instance, the center star either moves from the center to the northwest, or it moves the other direction to the southeast. It's a diagonal. If that's actually not any angle or anything, that those would be only 2 directions that the center star goes from. And it depends on whether we're in the summer solstice and when we're in when we change into the winter solstice, the flying stars actually change the direction that they're going for the next 6 months. So that's a little bit of what the flying stars do. And what you do is you figure out your compass direction that your front door is, because that's almost as important as the compass direction as your animal sign lies in, so that you can keep track of the flying star that flies to your front door, especially the annual ones. But if you're really into fine-tuning, follow those monthly ones too. The monthly flying stars are real easy to follow. And so the annual ones, definitely you'll want your cures in place with the one in the center. And there are a couple of other things that happen for the entire year because of the configuration of the annual flying stars. And one of them is what they call these renovation rules, or any type of rebuilding and renovation rules, meaning digging, tearing down walls, any sort of that sort of renovation. And what this year you want to watch for is not bothering or renovating the south, because that's where the five yellow flew. Now, if you have to, and before I get to that, also the west, where the Tai Tzu is sitting, you want to keep that. You don't want to bang around and dig around. It disturbs. It's called disturbing. And we do not want to disturb either the south or the west for sure this year. So in your house, figure out where those are. And if you have to go do something and something comes up, of course, you have to take care of it. I'm not saying don't take care of it, but what you can do is do something that diffuses the energies. And one of those things can be mirror balls, like a disco ball. Other things are rainbow type twirlers, or even pictures of rainbows. Diffuser can be mirrors if they're done right. And so if you want a feng shui consultation, also one thing is wind chimes are diffusers, because of the noise will diffuse the energy. And if you want a personal consultation, contact Pathfinder and I at pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And we have the super duper feng shui special going on until the spring equinox. And also Pathfinder has his own consultations that are just for you and him alone, spiritual consultations and readings involving your health and wealth and love. And those are also on special until the spring equinox. So that's pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And it's also on our Facebook Aloha Healers Network page. And so check that out. Thank you for visiting Aloha Healers Network and listening to our show. We so appreciate you, and we love you all. We want to send you wishes of wealth and happiness and joy. And it's time for our Feng Shui Fit Tip of the Day. And we're going to talk about stretching and recovery and how they go hand in hand. If there's some part of your body that is in recovery physically, stretching gently will elongate those tendons and retract the motion of kinesiology and the way that tracks and moves. Gentle stretching, and it's gentle stretching to the point of resistance, no ballistic bouncing. Ballistic is a bouncing. So no stretch, 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 stretch. You don't want to bounce into the stretch like that. What you want to do is hold. Find that place of slight resistance and hold. And while you're holding the stretch, you take deep breaths and you breathe into that tendon and that joint or that area while you're doing the stretch. This is a little bit of yoga, a little bit of what the energy can do. It can go straight into your body when you focus your breathing while you're stretching during recovery. And that is your Feng Shui Fit Tip of the Day. And next we have, it is springtime. I hear the birds. I see the sprouts. There's flowers. Look, there's Pathfinder.
Mahalo. Send a heartfelt handshake out to everyone, and may your own angels and grandmas and grandpas, Mother Earth, and all of our relatives bless you, and may we in turn bless them. We all rise best together, and we all rise best in the four realms of self, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual, when they all rise. As far as the renovation rules for 2017, the east, all the way from the northeast to the southeast, is also a cautionary area for outside construction. And I believe that includes inside stuff, too. It's the direction from the center of your home. And then when, and this is going to come up because we're going to discuss the Cherokee creation story here in a minute, is that we are also the center. So no matter where we are, we have to be mindful of direct west because the Tai Su is there. The influences of Jupiter are bringing in the power of the fire rooster from the west for the whole year. And then the same, being careful of the east and knowing that the east this year wants the feelings of peace. We wish peace and protection towards the east. And then towards the south, which is where the horse is and where the element of fire is, we have the five yellow, which is remedied by being in balance with the elements. In other words, so to compensate and be thankful to the elements of life, because it's five elements in the Eastern system, is how we approach the south this year. So that's just a little bit of a little bit more on the perspective of how we approach the year when it comes to renovation and when it comes to the energies that are coming into us. So, as is mentioned, this is a 1 year. For the entire year, the one will be in the center in as far as the yearly chart go. Then each month has its own flying stars and each day has its own flying stars. So it can really be refined down. And there are a bunch of little nook and cranny tricks and adjustments that Feng Shui has also, like the magic sum of 10. And so if, for instance, the 1 is in the center for the year and then the 9 pops in for the month, that's a magic sum of 10, okay? And there are understandings for all of these things. So we're working with this power of the one, which is new beginnings. And so as part of the new beginnings, we're doing a little bit of a creation story series. And I came across a creation story from one of the California tribes, but it's a little R-rated. So I'm not going to share it today. I know it was fun, but yeah, in many cultures, the coyote ends up being a way about teaching us to have balanced sexual relations, just to say it that way. And it was one of those stories where the coyote was helping out. Okay, so today the other story that was with the. And when I was researching, came up the Cherokee creation story. The earth is a great island floating in a sea of water, and suspended at each of the four cardinal points by a cord hanging down from the sky vault, which is of solid rock. When the world grows old and worn out, the people will die, and the cords will break, and let the earth sink down into the ocean, and all will be water again. The Indians are afraid of this. Probably originally it said the people are afraid of this. Is probably what that really originally said there. This is translated for the Smithsonian. They did a lot for storing the anthropological record. But so we'll put the people are afraid of this. When all was water, the animals were above in Galun Lati, beyond the arch. But it was very much crowded, and they wanted more room. They wondered what was below the water, and at last, the Unisi, Beaver's grandchild, the little water beetle, this little water beetle, offered to go and see if it could learn. It darted in every direction over the surface of the water, but it could find no firm place to rest. Then it dived to the bottom and came up with some soft mud, which began to grow and spread on every side until it became the island which we call the Earth. It was afterward fastened to the sky with four cords, but no one remembers who did this. At first, the earth was flat and very soft and wet, and animals were anxious to get down and send out different birds to see if it was yet dry, but they found no place to alight and came back to Galun Lati. At last, it seemed to be time, and they sent out the buzzard and told him to go and make ready for them. This was the great buzzard, father of all the buzzards we now see. He flew all over the earth, low down near the ground, and it was still soft. When he reached the Cherokee country, he was very tired, and his wings began to flap and strike the ground. And wherever they struck the earth, there was a valley, and where they turned up again, there was a mountain. When the animals above saw this, they were afraid the whole world would be mountains, so they called him back. The Cherokee country remains full of mountains to this day. When the earth was dry, the animals came down. It was still dark. So they got the sun and set it in a track to go every day across the island from east to west, just overhead. It was too hot this way, and the red crawfish had his shell scorched a bright red so that his meat was spoiled, and the Cherokee do not eat it. The conjurers put the sun another handbreadth higher in the air, but it was still too hot. They raised it another time and another until it was seven handbreadths high and just under the sky arch. Then it was right, and they left it so. This is why the conjurers call the highest place the seventh height, because it is seven handbreadths above the earth. Every day the sun goes along under this arch and returns at night beside to the starting place. There is another world under this, and it is like ours in everything, animals, plants, and people, save that the seasons are different. The streams that come down from the mountains are the trails by which we reach this underworld, and the springs at their heads are the doorways by which we enter it. But to do this, one must fast and go to the water and have one of the underground people for a guide. We know that the seasons in the underworld are different from ours because the water in the springs is always warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer than the outer air. I'm going to skip one paragraph and come down to this one. Men came after the animals and plants. At first, there were only a brother and a sister until he struck her with a fish and told her to multiply, and so it was. In 7 days, a child was born to her, and thereafter, every 7 days, another. And they increased very fast until there was a danger that the world could not keep them. Then it was made that a woman should have only one child in a year, and it has been so ever since. Okay, so this This is a beginning excerpt from the Cherokee creation story. And I really enjoy these creation stories. They're very, very interesting. Again, we have the theme and understanding of the four original powers, which are the West, the North, the East, and the South, and that there is a connection from each of these directions to the heavens above, which they call the Sky Vault. And by Sky Vault, they mean the celestial arch that's above the earth. So it's like a layer of the coronosphere or the sky. It's just above the seventh height. So there are six planes to heaven, let's say. I mean, there's seven planes to heaven. And in the seventh plane is the plane where the sun travels. And then above that, this sky vault. And there is the promise that sometime in the future, everything will return to the great waters again. Now, I find it also interesting about how the clay, the little water beetle went deep down under the water and brought up just a little bit of that mud, and then that mud spread out and became the whole earth. And so it's that idea of Turtle Island upon the great waters, and then in each of her directions is a connection to the seven heights. Then again, it's interesting to me, in many of the Native American origin stories, it talks about twins, and this does exist also in the Cherokee when we look at the story of Kanati and Selu, that's first father and first mother, who is Corn Woman, and how she ends up with the twins. But in this story, at first there were only a brother and a sister, until he struck her with a fish. And I was looking at that, and what does that mean? Well, I'm sure some old Cherokee grandma or grandpa has a whole story about what that means culturally. But then if we think about the nature of emotions and water, and we think about, you know, like the sign of Pisces, which the sun is in right now, we begin to understand the internal nature. But according to this story of the Cherokee, the first birth of humans is very much in connection with the woman and the fish. Now, if you'll remember, maybe about a year ago, we went into the origin of medicine, and we actually talked about several of the different Cherokee stories. So actually, this creation story doesn't end there. It goes into pages and pages and pages of other information, a lot of which has to do with how the animals got to be how they are. Like, how did the skunk get its stripes? How did the muskrat end up with the kind of a blunt nose, or how did the fox end up red, for instance? And it goes on and on with these things. But let us remember that very tied into the especially the Native North American. I can't speak about Central or South American at this time concerning the pine tree and the seven stars. So maybe next time I'll find a story that starts to talk about the connection of the cedar and the pine to the Pleiades, because we have it with the Cherokee, with the sisters and the brother, and then it also shows up many times across, I think, the Great Lakes tribes talk about the sacred relationship with the cedar tree and how that's connected directly to our human DNA, in that most of the indigenous tribes around the planet, I think the number is 70%, see their DNA origin as from Pleiades. Now, it's not how we think about, you know, it's not how a lot of people think about the star nations, but it's in like the mystical. And so it's a crossover. It's not like a physical metal ship deal. It's more about the sisters of the Pleiades and how they interacted from the heavens, let's say through the seven heights, and in conjunction with the four directions in order to affect and be with their relatives here on Earth. And so that's the Cherokee creation story, and we're gonna continue with at least a couple more of these. I would again promote a couple of astrologers, Reverend Shelley Inteen. You can find her on the Esoterically Speaking Network on Facebook, and she also has astralessence.com. And then another astrologer, Shelley's out of South Carolina. Another astrologer we really, really love is Ann Ortley out of New York, and you can find her at annortley.com. Check out her weekly astro forecast, and also check out a podcast called Scorpio's Talking, where she is an astrologer, and Michael Kohlberg, who is the title is psychotherapist, how they talk about matters of the day, especially from the viewpoint of Scorpio's Talking. One other shout out of a new favorite is a wild zany, we'll call him a cosmic surfer, astrologer, Kay Pacha Lesher, I believe is his name. You can find him on YouTube under the Pele Report. So check these out. And forthcoming, we have a new website, which will have these links, and where you can also connect with us for our New Year special, which is both a feng shui session and a spiritual reading with me, or it can be a pastoral counseling session with me. And so you are welcome to contact us at pathfinder1111@gmail.com. Or you can also connect with us through Aloha Healers community Facebook page. And so blessings and love, everyone, and get the recreation on.
Lovely. We will. And we will close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Ina ajo hewane yanging tero eum. Ina ajo hewane yanging te nitung kashila hewane yanging tero ei. Ina ajo hewane yanging tero ei.